Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here, and welcome back to another Meet the Pros seminar program. It's our intention to bring you the top professionals in the field of hypnosis who can give you the inside scoop on hypnosis, the hypnosis business, and our profession, as well as related topics such as NLP, self-help, and so on. Today, we are so lucky to have with us Dr. Richard Hart, who's become an old friend of mine. I've gone through his certification course when I became a CI, which is a certified instructor for the NGH. Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Hart. He's famous for putting together the National Guild of Hypnotists training program. He trains the people who train hypnotherapists, and he's probably trained more trainers than anyone else in the world. But very few people know that Dr. Hart is one of the most successful corporate trainers and corporate consultants in our profession. He is with us today to tell you how you, the professional hypnotist or hypnotherapist, can make more money in the profession and at the same time adding a new dimension of interest in your hypnosis practice. So with all that aside, let me ask Dr. Richard Hart to take over and tell us a little bit about himself, if there's anything you think I should have you let our classroom know, and then go ahead and begin telling us about making money the smart way.
Well, thanks, Cal. I think one thing you did leave out is the idea that I love to play golf and I love my freedom, which making money has taught me to do over the years. So I certainly have utilized my skills, my hypnosis skills, in more ways than one to allow me to have earned the money that I have so I can afford to be in Florida, back in New York. And by the way, everybody, I'm speaking from New York City now, and it's nighttime here. I don't know where everybody's from, but it's a three-hour time difference from the West Coast. Tonight's topic is kind of an interesting one to me. In coming up with some of the language, I started to realize what the key words that are outlined on your screen right now are. And one of the first words that struck me was the word opportunity. And I started to think about opportunities. When I used to teach sales training back in the early 90s to major corporations such as Motorola, Estee Lauder, and companies like that, one of the things that we used to teach all the time were, how would one find opportunities to make money? Where do we find more business? Well, it's kind of interesting because one of the things that we fail to teach, at least most of the time, that we fail to teach in our hypnosis practice teachings are the marketing aspects of how do we look for opportunities where hypnosis can be used. And I wasn't really thinking about that tonight, but I started to think, you know, I've trained thousands of hypnotists over the years, some as just people who work with clients and trainers. And one of the things that's developed is that many of my students who are good hypnotists have learned to earn, they've learned how to develop a good private practice. They earn a good living doing this. It's their life's work. They may be seeing 30 or 40 clients a week, which is a lot. And however, I started to think, you know, what opportunities do these people have if they're working 30 or 40 hours a week to do anything else? And the answer is very little. They have very little time left over. They're exhausted by the end of the week. And I started to think in terms, well, why haven't we taught these people to look for opportunities that enable them to work with larger groups than one-on-one, for example, in a practice? And although they're making the money and they're doing well, they seem to shy away from doing that. But yet many of them come to me and say, you know, I need to make more money. I need to look for other opportunities or situations. Well, that's what I'm here to talk to you about tonight, something that I learned a long time ago in order to enhance my earnings, and significantly so, was to take what I was doing into corporate America. And I'm really interested, if you're interested tonight in learning how to make money, if you notice the heading says, making money the smart way, one of the important things will be for you to start to think in terms of how much is your hour really worth? You know, you have so many hours in a day. So let's, for example, say you work 8 hours a day and you see 8 clients a day, which most hypnotists or hypnotherapists do not do. They don't seem to capture that kind of audience. Well, if you are doing that, how much time and how much energy do you have left to do anything else? You probably don't. And I used to feel that way, too, because at one point I was seeing 30 to 40 clients a week, and I charged $200 a session, for example, here in New York City. But what happened is I got sick about 7, 8 years ago seeing so many clients. And I started to realize and analyze this and say, you know, what's the truth here? How can I put together something that will enable me to earn the money that I need to earn and really start to enjoy the experience in working and impacting a larger group of people than just one-on-one clients? There's nothing wrong with working one-on-one. In fact, today, to this day, I see 10 to 12 clients a week, and I love it. They're my laboratory. So I think the key turns into how do we then find the opportunities? And if I were teaching to you today, what I would say to you is, what other areas can you work with? For example, one of the things, as Cal mentioned, that you can consider doing would become a certified instructor for the National Guild. This will add to your credential. It will help you teach a larger audience. Your students many times will become clients of yours and will lead you in a direction where you'll have more to do. That's one way. You can teach self-hypnosis courses, and you can certainly learn to work with groups. And I think that's key as well. I use the word opportunity, and I use the word group, meaning what opportunities are there for you to impact a larger audience? So if you're going to do weight loss groups, for example, and add up your hourly rate, you'll be amazed at how much more money you can work with working with groups for weight loss, for example. And it just works. The numbers work out. If you charge, for example, $100 an hour and you see a person, let's say, 4 hours, you're going to be getting, when I say 4 hours, I'm talking $100, 4 clients off of $400, you could see 8 clients in an hour and a half and earn about 3 times as much. This is how the formula works. So what I want you to start to get in your head today is the idea that to make money, you have to look for opportunities. And what I really want to hone in on, something that I've learned to do, is to take my skills that I use, hypnosis, to corporate America. Cal, did you want to throw in something or point out something at this point?
What I'm hearing you say is, let's talk about working smarter, not harder. Because one of the great challenges, even among the most successful hypnotherapists, is there's only so many hours a day, and there's only so many dollars you can charge per hour, depending on where you live and how well you're known and how you market yourself. But if you want to make more money than the average hypnotherapist, maybe in that top, 1 to 5% of hypnotherapists, you've got to start working smarter. Am I hearing you right there, Dr. Hart?
Absolutely. And one of the ways to do this is to start to look for different audiences. For example, in some of the programs that I've taught for many, many years, and besides being a trainer, my work has evolved into my becoming a consultant or somewhat of a guru to top management in many companies. Now, I will say this. For those of you who really want to make money, and there's a certain type of a person really that says, yeah, I really want to make a lot of money, that means there's work involved. And you know the old saying, no pain, no gain. Well, I think it's very important here to learn the skills that you need and take them to corporate America. Now, this program, the program, for example, that I teach normally in this respect, not only teaches the skills, but requires people to have business experience, Cal. In other words, somebody who doesn't have business experience will have a difficult time in trying to learn the lingo of corporate America. But most people who get involved with hypnosis have worked for a company, whether they be in sales, whether they have been in management, whether they've been in the healthcare end of the business. The important thing is that we have to start to think in terms of, if my market is out there, if that's another phase of my business, how much money can I really make? And the answer is simple. The answer is that if you would take the time to go after corporate America, we're talking about earning six figures a year annually plus.
Okay, so see, now I think maybe we've got some people interested. Now, if I'm understanding you right, is how to get out of that that kind of working by the hour one-on-one, is there's a couple things you can do. One, you could start marketing yourself as a group hypnotist, and you're going out and you're doing those stop smoking and lose weight groups, going from hotel to hotel. Or if you'd rather stay home and work out of a particular area, or I suppose you could also travel doing this, but start working with corporations and working with them both as a consultant and as kind of a trainer teaching courses. Am I, to their people, am I getting you right there, Dr. Hart?
You're right on with this. For example, many people listening here probably can do a stress management program. But if you really add it up, how many people really come to you? I think in all the years, over 25 years I've been in the hypnosis business as a clinician, I think I maybe have had two or three people come to me for stress management. And naturally, stress management is a very important aspect of all the work we do. But that's not a presenting problem. Stress is part and parcel of every problem we deal with. However, when I go to corporate America, I'm able to sell and market stress programs, for example, which I would be teaching for roughly, let's say, 6 hours of work. I could probably work with 15 to 20 people and charge and get $1,800 for that period of time. That means my hourly rate is $300 an hour, not $200 an hour. And I've done probably over time with all the companies I've worked with maybe 1,500 to 2,000 stress management programs over the last 20 years. That's a lot. And think of if we add up the dollars, it even becomes more significant. So what I'm looking to do is to impact a larger group of people. I think at my last seminar with you, I talked about looking at a company, for example, as I do a client. And I'm looking at the health of that company, just as I would look at the health of that client. And I think with my skills and the things that I know, I can help the entire company reach, and I can reach a larger audience and probably make 10 times as much money as I do working individually.
You know, I think this is really exciting, and I'm kind of taking notes as you're talking. So, I'll excuse me if I get clarification on something you've already said. One of the things I just picked up on is that, like a hypnotherapist or a hypnotist should be very well trained in working with stress management. But even someone that's been in practice for many years will find that few individuals will come to them to work on stress management. But in the corporate world, something like that is a very important skill. So skills that hypnotists have, like working with stress management or maybe improving motivation or improving persistence, these kind of things that individuals might not think about coming to us for, corporations might be very interested in bringing those kinds of programs to their employees. Am I getting you right there, Dr. Hart?
Yes, you are. And take it beyond stress management. Stress management was one area. The main areas that I really like to talk about are sales training. Now, many companies have a need for sales training, that is small, medium, and large size companies. The skills we teach in hypnosis are persuasive skills. You learn how to read clients. You don't know how to do this. These skills have a very definite application. Time management is another area. I hear lately many people talk about coaching. Well, as part of my consulting of things that I do, when I consult to a company, I don't charge extra for consulting. I do it as a normal way of doing business. And as you know, I charge a lot of money for my services, but I think the key factor in charging is what am I performing, what am I doing, and how much am I worth? And part of it is that as a trainer, I can not only implement these programs that I'm talking about, but I can help management grow their company. I think that's the thing I like to teach employees. You have a bigger role to play if you're willing to open up your minds to corporate America. And by the way, when I talk about corporate America, I'm including hospitals, and any kind of nonprofit organizations, they all will pay a lot of money for somebody who's skilled, who has some business background, who understands their industry, whatever it might be, and can bring these skills to their employees. After all, what do they really want? They want to increase production. They want to increase productivity of employees. We're motivators. We teach people to do this. We teach people to get off their butts and go out and do something. So we do with our clients. Why can't we do it with a larger group?
That's great. Hey, just keep going. I'm all ears. I have no questions at the moment. Just keep going.
Okay, so I think, as you and I have discussed often, Cal, the idea is that one of the things, my doctoral dissertation was done on persistence. I measured persistence. I think I know what makes people tick along those lines. And one of the things that I do is I have a sales persistence training program that I teach to people. And why do I teach that? The reason I teach it is the success of most salespeople depend on them hanging in a long period of time. It's crucial to their making the sale. The same thing is true of people, if you think about it, who have to stop smoking or want to lose weight. Same things we work with clients every day apply. And I think the important thing I want to get across here today, if I get across anything, is that everybody, if they're going to be hypnotists, if you're going to be a good hypnotist and really impact people, look for larger audiences, whether it be 8 people or 10 people or 20 or 100 people. It doesn't really matter. The key thing is you're teaching skills. Hypnosis is a skill. Once somebody learns self-hypnosis or self-talk or some of the things that you all teach, you can apply it to almost any kind of situation. So you have to understand how to do things. There are skills you need to learn. One of the most important skills that you need to learn if you're going to get beyond working one-on-one is going to be, how do you work with groups? How do you learn how to work with groups? And I think that's the area that I want to talk about next, Cal.
Very good. Before we move on to how to become an expert with groups, now it's really important from my point of view, and I think the people that come to these Meet the Pros seminars, is that when they get done with this seminar, that they have a few things in their pocket that they could start using tomorrow if they wanted to start implementing something from the course. So I'm on our list there. I feel like we've really gone through the first three really well. Tell us a little bit about how one of our listeners, if they wanted to, tomorrow or this coming week, could begin to market themselves to small, medium businesses.
Well, the first thing that I would do is put together, if you have a stress management program, that's going to be your entree into a company. Because to try and compete with weight loss groups, for example, or stop smoking groups, very difficult today. You have larger companies such as Weight Watchers doing that at very low costs. However, certainly you can offer that and see if they'll give you a pilot run on it and see if they'll let you do it. However, there are many, many companies that have a need to have their employees reduce their stress. I think if you think about stress throughout the world as it exists today, it's monumental. There's no shortness of stress with anybody. So what I would do, the first thing, is I would look to identify 25 companies where I live. I would look for small, medium, and large. When I say large, I'm talking about perhaps a division of a large corporation. It doesn't have to be a large company. It could be a small division of a large company. And I would identify it. For those of you who have experience, for example, within a certain industry, whether it be publishing, whether it be finance, whether it be manufacturing, whether it be advertising, whatever it might be, if you have experience in that industry, I would start out by going right back to that industry and identifying those companies within that industry, and I would do some legwork. The legwork would require me contacting the human resource person, if they have a person like that, or perhaps a vice president of sales. Those are the two areas I like to start with. Probably HR, or human resources, is probably the place to start. And I would go with a presentation to them of the work that I've done, for example, and how I might help their company alleviate stress. And I would offer it as a group program, something to the idea that a four-session program, for example, for an hour and a half each session, a total of 6 hours. It could be done in a three-hour module. It could be done in one day, depending on how the company's logistics are. And I would offer them that program, and I would do it at a very inexpensive price to get you in the door. When I say inexpensive price, for example, let's say you're going to be working with 10 or 15 people, I would charge somewhere in the neighborhood of $2,500 or maybe even $200 a person, something like that, to get started with for the four sessions. Not to make a lot of money, but to get yourself the practice of doing it.
Now, I understand that you've taught other people how to do this. And so, I think your words come with particular credibility because it's not that you have finesse and, something like that, but you know that this works because you've taught other people to do that. Can you tell me a little bit about what it's like to be a beginner in the consultant program when they approach corporations?
Well, a beginner is somebody who has to make up their mind they're going to become a good trainer. So the program that I teach, first I teach people the skills of becoming a good trainer and how to work with groups as a trainer. The factor of becoming a consultant takes place over time. Now, what do I mean over time? What happens within a company is once somebody ingratiates themselves or becomes involved with a company, they start to do different things. They might do a stress management program. They might do a sales training program. They might do a leadership program. They may do a time management program. What starts to happen is the company starts to realize, I want this person on board with me. I want this person to help me with a lot of areas because we have lots of employees or we have a small group of employees. It appears that the skills of hypnosis that we use can be valuable. So I'm interested then in putting that person should be interested in some kind of retainer fee. Now, to give you an idea of how my retainer fees work, my minimum retainer fee is $7,500 for one day a week, 4 days a month. So in other words, I'm getting paid for $7,500. This is my minimum for 4 days of work a month. Now, if you expand this and look at what this means, it means for one client, I will be making $90,000 a year. When I was seeing three, four, five clients a week, it's a considerable amount of money doing this. And I did this for many, many years. I think the key to understanding this, you don't become a consultant overnight. You don't walk in and say, here I am, your happy consultant, and you become a consultant, just as much as you don't say, here I am, your happy hypnotist. What you do is you have to prove yourself. And the way to prove yourself is to have programs, whether it be a sales program, a stress program, a time management program, a leadership program. I'm mentioning all of these are opportunities. And I stress that word, opportunities for you to present a menu to a whole variety of different companies. So I go back to what I just said, Cal. I would look at my area and try to identify 25 reasonable-sized companies in my area. And I would go out and get my feet wet and start to talk to these people about their needs. I would do an assessment of what the health of that company would be. I'd look at it overall just as I would a client. And I'd say, gee, I think I can help, and I'd make a proposal. Based on that proposal, if you have never done it before, you can go in with any amount of dollars. It doesn't matter. Once you get in the door, the dollars will be incredible. You will open up a whole new world for yourself.
That's great. I think that maybe people are starting to get interested in the idea of working with corporations. So some of the things I'm catching here is the key to getting started is having a menu of programs, like 4 to 6 programs, would you say, on your menu when you're getting started?
I would say even start with two, with a minimum of two. For example, if you know anything about sales training and can develop some skill in that, certainly stress management. If you are approaching the health department of a company, you might want to talk about weight or smoking or anger management, things of that type. But, yes, you need a minimum of two and then expand it as you keep going.
Okay. I get you. I'm glad I asked that question. Now, I don't know, some other people that might be listening in today or listening in the future, they might be wondering, well, that's Dr. Richard Hart. I don't have a doctorate degree, Maybe I don't have any degree. What's more important when you go to a company like that? Having a doctorate or being an experienced hypnotist or having a menu of items that are really of interest to them?
I believe if you do a proper assessment and realize what is required of a company, if you can offer them a solution to their problem, it doesn't matter whether or not you have a doctorate. Yes, I have an advantage with some companies. Other companies do not like me having a doctorate. They think it intimidates people sometimes. So it depends, you know, on every company's different. I approach every company not so much with the doctor Richard Hart, but with the idea that I have a stress management program. Here's where it's been done before. Here's all the elements that I have as part of it. Here are my testimonials of people who've been helped with it. Make those calls. That's what I'm looking to do. And at this point in my life, of course, I don't have to talk too much about that. But when I started, that's what I was doing. One person would refer another to another to another. And by the way, once you do a program in one company, you do the same thing pretty much. You just customize it for the next company. It's not a hard thing to do. You do have to get training in it. You do have to learn the skills of working with groups. You cannot be an amateur walking in, for example.
Beautiful. Well, that's a perfect segue into telling us about how to become an expert in working with groups.
The important thing in working with groups is to really have in your back pocket an ability to assess an entire group. When I say assess, with a client you do an intake. I'm using the same word. But the idea is to be able, let's, for example, use stress management as an example. And let's say I have 12 people in the room. Every one of these people have problems. So I put them through what I call a behavioral assessment to find out, basically, what their behaviors are related to whatever problem is being presented, what's the affect of that behavior. In other words, what emotions are related to that. Okay, so, and what kinds of physical signs of stress people are experiencing, how they image this behavior, and what their thoughts are. So I'm really dealing with thoughts, feelings, and actions, which I've talked about before in discussions with you, which are the three fundamental psychological processes that go on with people all the time. So if I can identify how people are thinking, how they're feeling, and what they're doing, I pretty much have done a complete assessment. So if I have 12 people in a room that all have different kinds of stresses going on, I've got to identify all of them in order to come up with a plan to help them. So I can't work with one individual in doing this. I have to work with the entire group. Now, working with the group enables me to find out, because you will find when somebody has stress, maybe five or six other people within the group are going to have the same stress, and they're all going to be able to share in their discussions about this. So one of the things that happens is the entire group has to move forward as a whole. This is a very important point in working with groups. No one individual gets special treatment. The entire group must go forward as a whole if we're going to make progress. So if I'm going to teach people things like self-hypnosis, I have to teach the entire group this. Now, there will be people within the group who are going to vie just for my attention. I used to, for example, as a therapist, I used to run a lot of therapy groups, and there's always people who are trying to vie for my 100% of my attention, for example. I have to know how to do things like bridging. For example, if somebody's trying to get my time, I have to divert their attention to somebody else. This is a skill to know this. I also have to choose some leaders within the group, so when I don't know something, I can then throw the question on to somebody else. This is what I mean by skills. You have to work the room, as a comedian might tell you, or as an actor might tell you. You have to learn to work the room so that there's no one individual stymieing everything, or the group is being prevented from learning. That's what I mean. This has becomes important in motivation as well.
Very interesting. So would you recommend that probably, like, people who are serious about getting into the corporate world, doing this corporate training, should probably start doing some classes now, like maybe a community college type self-hypnosis course or something like that?
Any opportunity a hypnotist has to get before a group, whether it be self-hypnosis courses was doing a stress management program for a company that they work for, doing any kind of group program, I think they should start right away. I think they should devote a certain amount of hours a week to try to do to reach larger audiences. First of all, you know, I feel better when I impact larger groups. There's an interesting thing that happens in therapy, by the way, that, you know, many clients who go to therapy, and I don't know how many of you have been in therapy who are listening in, but there's a thing that happens in therapy often is that clients lie to their therapists. Well, one of the things that happens in a group setting is it's very difficult to lie to a group of people who are going through the same thing that you're going through. So you have a much more truthful type of experience in a group setting. This is also true in working in a corporate structure. There's a lot more truth that comes out in a group setting than trying to manage something individually. I found this to be a very interesting and almost humorous type of experience.
That's very interesting. Yeah, the group dynamic is a very powerful dynamic that when you're properly trained, it can really work for the benefit of the whole group. Dr. Hart, you let me know if you become ready to like take some questions from the people here in our virtual room, and also let me invite anyone that wants to ask a question. If you have a webcam and microphone, you can just press the Talk Now button. If you don't, just type it in the Your Message area down there at the bottom of the screen.
I'm ready certainly to answer any questions. But I do want to hone in on something important here, Cal, and that is, you know, I would ask myself many times over when I was working really hard, and I was earning a good living, but I would ask myself, how much free time do I really have? How do I play? How do I get out there and enjoy the experience? I'm learning now that I can do it, and I've certainly have reached that point, as you well know, but I think the important thing is I worked very hard for many, many years to achieve that goal. The answer is I structured my week. My hour became very important to me. The hours that I could work became important to me. And in my case, for example, I never saw private clients in the evening. Never. I know that many people say, well, I have to and all this, but I just chose to be with my family at that point and didn't see clients at night. So always referred out. People say, well, doesn't that cost you a lot of money? Yes, it probably cost me. But there was a certain respect that was developed. I had my clients come to me during the day. Well, the same thing is true of companies. When I'm selling my time is important. I think there's a tendency amongst hypnotists and hypnotherapists not to value their time. So I want to hone in on that again and say, you know, if you want to play, if you want to develop some structure in your life that's going to enable you to have the freedom you want, then you have to start to look at your schedule and your own time management skills and see how you should be working with that. How can you make that better? How can you improve it? Okay, so certainly I see a question. Should you structure your business? So this is Steve Rose says, should you structure your business so that your practice with individual clients is a separate entity from the consulting training? That's a very good question, Steve. And the answer is yes. I would give a different name to your corporation, or if you have a company, I would give a different name. I would have a different website if you're thinking in terms of promoting that aspect of your business. And very often what you'll find when you go into companies, you will not use the word hypnosis. Even though they'll know you're a hypnotist because you'll tell them, you will not, for example, if you do a stress management program, you're not going to say this is a hypnosis stress management program. It's a stress management program. If you'll do sales training, you'll call it sales training. If it's time management, it's time management. It's not hypnosis to this day. I did some testing of this. Hypnosis to this day is a little concern in corporate America from a management standpoint. Not always. There are many people, and I have a litany of companies I work with who love the idea that I do stress management, and it is hypnosis. So, in fact, usually when I'm introduced at corporate seminars or things of this type, somebody might say, well, this used to happen at Estee Lauder a lot, for example. They would say, well, here's Dr. Richard Hart, and by the way, he's a hypnotist. And everybody would just crack up, of course. So I've had lots of fun with that, going that way.
Earlier, I told everyone that we're going to be recording this, and if they... don't want their name on the recording, then they should just use their first name if they talk. And so I was just asking Steve if it was all right if we left his name on the recording. Let's see. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about, we had a very interesting conversation the other day on the telephone about hypnotists have got to get over this. And that is, it's okay to make money. You see, this is what I think. The people who go into hypnotherapy or hypnotists as a profession are the same people that go into counseling as a profession and social work. And sometimes they just don't think about making money. And it's time for everybody to start thinking about it's okay to make money. It's okay to make $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 a year. You just got to be willing to get out of your comfort zone and start doing the things that successful people are doing. Can you add something to that, Dr. Hart?
Well, as you know, when we speak about this, one of the things that happens, because we train so many people, you do as well as I do, that we run across a variety of different types of individuals, from housewives to teachers, to police officers, to who get involved in this profession. And some people come from a metaphysical orientation, and what those people tend to do is to think that money will just invent itself and be there. Well, I don't know where many people live. I know where I live in New York City, and I know the cost of living here in New York City, and I learned a long time ago that I had to pay rent, and I had to eat, and I had to do all the things that I needed to. And I come from the printing business. Before I became a therapist, I got my doctorate in psychology, I was in the printing business. And so I have a business background, a very strong business background. I also have a psychological background. I think the work that I've done on myself over the years have given me the energy and the strength to start to realize that if I'm going to do any good for everybody out there, I've got to be happy within myself. My self-esteem has got to be strong. I've got to feel confident. I have to dress the part. I have to be the part. I have to act the part. And I have to show that every place I go, because people tend to like to be around successful people. So you have to exude this confidence. You know, it's not, I'm a hypnotist now, and people come to me and they have to find me. It's a matter of you're going out there and learning how to market yourself, learning how to brand yourself. I mean, look at Donald Trump. I mean, this guy is unbelievable, and whether you like him or not isn't the issue. He's branded himself. You as an individual have to start to ask yourself, who are you? What are you about? Why are you doing all this? I mean, what is this about? Isn't underneath it some place where you're trying to earn money? Isn't there a need that you have to make money? Well, if so, bring it out to the surface and get the training from the people that you need if you need that. Learn the skills that you need to enhance yourself. Get yourself a mentor. Get yourself people who can help you. This is what you have to do in life today to really make it.
That's wonderful, Dr. Hart. That's right. There's more ways to get an education than to go to a university. You can pick out people who are being a success in the field and then learn from them. And it's especially important if there can be some kind of mentoring program. What I'd like to do now is once again encourage anyone, if they have any questions about anything covered so far, to please ask them by pushing the Talk Now button or just type them in at the bottom of the screen.
Steve, you have a good question there again, and I think the answer to your question is, I'll read the question, to take the class, do you need new years of experience? Do you need years of experience doing professional hypnosis with clients, or is it something a relatively newbie can do? Does your program include training on how to do group sessions? The second part of the answer is yes, I teach. It's important that every one of my students learn how to do group sessions. That part's easy. Now, as far as hypnosis skills, you should have some. You don't have to have years of training as a hypnotist. You have to know some basic skills. You have to know how to hypnotize, for example. If you can hypnotize people, you certainly have learned how to do that. You certainly have learned on some level how to work with suggestion, which is probably the most important thing we have to work with. Hopefully you've learned some assessment techniques or how to do an interview with somebody when they come to your office. These are the basic skills. All of that requires enhancement on a much higher level to be able to utilize them and translate all that information into a corporate language, which it's more important that you have some corporate experience working for a company than it is you have extensive hypnosis experience.
Someone at our office just asked me, they're not hooked up to this conference, about how do you get the word out? I mean, how do you get the, do you just do cold calling, or is there any kind of advertising is the best way to go, or what?
Well, there are several ways. If you're going to do it on your own, then I think what you have to do is design the program. So you have to go to somebody and learn how to design the programs. One of the things we do cover in the training, how do you design training materials? That's a very important thing, because every place you go, you're going to have a custom type of program, which you get paid for extra, by the way. So if you're just going to go with a smoking program or a weight program or a stress management program, you don't really need to train with somebody like me. You just have to go out and get your feet wet and do it. Before I wrap it up, I noticed a question from Sheila. She asks, when you say corporate experience, does that mean you would have to have been in management, or would it be being in the trenches as an executive assistant or secretary be suitable? It was the stress of being an EA that directed me to become a hypnotist. Well, I fully understand that. The answer is, whether you understand business, I don't care where you've been in business, but if you had that experience in corporate America, you understand the stresses that are going on there. You understand the people that work there. You understand the nuances of that particular company. For example, I recently spoke to somebody, Cal, that you sent me. Man works for one of the large corporations, and he's in training now. And his concern, one of his concerns, is that will he be able to then take this to his same company? Well, that's a beautiful way to think about it. Think about this. Today's world, we have baby boomers, for example, all getting close to the age of 60 years old and going to be retiring. One of the things that I thought about in designing this program is, this is the audience I would love to reach. I would love to reach the baby boomers who now are thinking in terms of retiring at a young age. They want to feel productive. They want to earn money. They want to control the amount of time every day that they work. They want to have structure so they can play and they can live a life as seniors. Well, think about it. By the way, all of you as hypnotists should be thinking of this market as well. There are 78 million baby boomers getting close to the age of retirement. Do you realize what this market represents for you as somebody who can help these people enter a new profession, for example, to become hypnotists, for example, just as an idea there, or to help others? These people want to feel productive. I have many friends of mine who got tired of just playing golf every day, and now there's a three-year syndrome we talked about with people who've retired, especially at young ages. They become bored. They have a need to go out and become productive again.
Well, that was wonderful. I think that's inspiring. I think it's thought-provoking. I hope that everyone in the room, I want to thank everyone that's in our virtual room, Chris, Dan, Dave, Jerry, John, Mark, Richard, that's you, Dr. Hart, and Sabrina, Shane, Sheila, Steve, everybody, and so on. And all you guys that are tuning in here on the Banya Meet the Pros program, it's so exciting to have you here. I'm glad to get the word out. Dr. Richard Hart, he's a guy that knows what he's talking about. He's a fellow that's really worked the corporations and got them what they want. You see, the key to success, I forgot where I heard this, but, and Dr. Hart really lives by this, and that is, when you bring something that people need and want to them, they're going to buy, and you deserve to be well paid for it. Okay. All right. We'll see you later then. Talk to you later, Dr. Hart. Thanks everybody for coming in here. And, this is Cal Banyan signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.